Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tuppers Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message.
Glory. Well, I'm going to be talking this morning, sharing a little bit about the harvest truly is great. And I'm trying my best to tie this into our fair so that everyone will have a desire to get involved and be a part of what we're doing here. And not only that, to recognize that ministry is more than just what you do in the church. Ministry is everywhere. Whatever you do, you are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may not have a degree or a title or anything like that, but you have the ability imparted to you by Holy Spirit to minister to people. You are unique. You are created in the image of God, but you are created as a unique individual. And you can minister to people that I cannot minister to. You can touch people in places that I cannot touch people in. So God has created all of us as the body of Christ. And the body must function properly, together, and work in unity in order for it to be everything that God wants it to be. We are the body of Jesus Christ. So this morning I'll start with Luke chapter 10, verse 2, and then I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke in just a little bit, if you would prepare for that. Luke 13, 12 through 16, we'll be turning there. But right now, Luke 10, 2, Jesus said this, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest." This dilemma has been the case since the time of Jesus Christ. There's never been enough laborers in the harvest field. The harvest truly is plenty. The harvest is very, very great right now. I believe there are more souls to be saved in the next 10 or 15 years than we've seen saved in the past 50 years. That's just my opinion. Now, we'll wait and see whether that happens or not. But I believe we're poised for a great move of God. I'm hoping and I'm praying that some kind of tragedy does not have to happen for that to take place. I want people's hearts to be changed and turned and let us live a good life. Amen. But I'm not in control of that. And individually, we have to make some decisions. Our decision is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, soul, and mind. And in a world that is out of control, in chaos, the world needs the love of Jesus Christ. We know that. So today, we're going to just discuss the balancing act. I think that we have to have, as a member of Bethel, or any body of that you're a member of, or might be a member of, and the responsibility that we have in the marketplace and the things that we're supposed to be doing and sharing with people wherever we go. Because you see, there can be a conflict there. Many times people feel that they're performing ministry that God has called them to just because they're doing something in the church. You know, Billy is an usher, head usher, and he's performing a really important function here in this church. But if he's not performing his function as a witness for Jesus Christ as a carpenter, he's just missing the mark. So we have to have a balance in this. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, wherever we go, we're servants. Jesus said, "The greatest among you will be the servant of all." Everyone. Wow. You want to be great in the kingdom? Clean some toilets. That'll make you great in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's not something we want to hear, is it? Everybody wants to be the one up front. Well, not everybody. I don't want to be up here. But many people, they want a certain position. But that's not God's design for the body of Christ. He has imparted to each and every one of us a gift and giftings that is to be used for the body and for reaching people for Jesus Christ. So in Luke 12:24, it says that God our Father makes daily provision for the fowl of the air, and we are more valuable to him than any of the birds. So we should not worry about our daily needs. All right, so if you take that at face value, then all we ever have to do is roll over in our bed every day and God's going to take care of us. Surely we're smarter than that, aren't we? We realize that's not what Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching us not to be worried and concerned about the cares of this world, the things he's going to provide for you. Our God will make the provision. But even though the provision is made, Ecclesiastes says this, 10:18, because of laziness, the building decays. And through idleness of hands, a house leaks. Have you ever seen an abandoned house? How quickly it seems like it deteriorates. My mom's always talking about that. How, if you leave a house, how it just seems like it falls apart. It does, because there's no one there to take care of it. No one to fix the leak. No one to put the screw back in the screen door. No one to fix the window. And things just begin to mount up, one thing after another. Now we know that Jesus is the Word, the flesh, the Word that became flesh. So we know that Jesus was not contradicting the Old Testament. He would never do that. But he was just trying to get us to understand there has to be a balance in our life. We have to be able to do the work of the kingdom, whether it's in church or wherever we are, with our neighbor or in the marketplace, whatever it is. But we also have to have some leisure time, some downtime. You know, Tammy and I, we take care of quite a good-sized piece of property. My mom's, our property, we're talking about we mow and care for it and have some animals. And we have a total of 18 acres that we're overall taking care of. Much of that we mow. That's our fault, nobody else's. However, it sure looks nice when it's mowed. And we always make comments, boy, that looks nice. But then, oh no, it's time to mow again. Wow, it just sneaks up on us. But anyhow, you know, if we're not careful and we're guilty of this, we have a nice porch that we could sit on and enjoy life a little bit. But we very seldom sit on that porch, because we're always doing something. We have to get a better mindset about these things. We need, you know, my son and daughter-in-law and daughter and son-in-law all came over last night, and we grilled out and we sat on the porch and we just kind of enjoyed, let the kids play. We enjoyed life. Boy, that was nice. Sure is nice to do that. And you all know there's nothing I enjoy more than having my family around me, whether it's church family or my other family. So we come to this understanding that Jesus Christ has told us that it is important that the first thing we do in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God. And he'll take care of everything else. And once again, that's not a contradiction. You still have your responsibilities. You must do it, but you must make God your priority. Now, I didn't say you must make church your priority. Now, I'm a stupid pastor, so I'll stand up here and tell you these things because that's reality. Instead of trying to make you feel like you have an obligation to be in church every Sunday, I'll tell you, it's important. You learn, you grow, but you also must understand that that doesn't mean that you're serving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. It may be a good indication that you come to church on a regular basis, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you are. So what I want you to understand is that church attendance is not necessarily serving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, seeking the kingdom. Seeking the kingdom has to do with church attendance, reading your Bible, praying, seeking God, spending time with Him. Amen. So there's a series of disciplines that we have to have in our life. So to justify what I was saying about church attendance, I don't want you to think that you can just miss church for any whim. Okay? You're supposed to be here. We're to congregate and worship. But we also understand, just like Jesus, you know, told the Pharisees that if you have to go or you need to go someplace else or something else is happening, it's not a religious obligation to be at Bethel every Sunday. Now, I'll come in here next week and half the congregation will be gone doing something else. No, I don't think you'd do that to me. Also, I want you to understand this seeking the kingdom is not a directive from Jesus for all of us to become monks and live in a monastery. Seeking Jesus, seeking the kingdom is just a daily process. It's an admonition from the Lord to keep our proper priorities, keep everything in order. In Psalms 128, verse 2, it says, "When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you." You know, I enjoyed eating the fruits of our labors last night and being with family. It was good. It was well with our soul to be able to do that. One thing that we must always remember is that our lives are not divided into spiritual and physical segments. You know, we can't departmentalize our lives. We're a spiritual being that has a soul, wherever it is. It's part of it here, who knows for sure, that lives in a body. And that spirit and soul part is going to live on for eternity based on what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. That's exciting. But as I look at this 66 and a half year old body, I realize that it's not going to last forever. It's deteriorating. You know, the things I used to be able to do, I can't do any longer. I used to be able to play basketball. I don't do that any longer. I just, you know, my body doesn't move like that. There's certain things that you're just not going to be able to do. The body is deteriorating, but the soul is supposed to grow. The spirit is supposed to take preeminence over this physical body. That's why those disciplines are so important. What we do at home, at work, all our social activities should all be an extension of our seeking the kingdom of God. Every part of it. Let me say this to you. If you are convicted that you should not do something when you gather together with believers, tell a joke or say something off color or anything, if you're convicted about that in this church, in this building, when you come together, if it's inappropriate here, it's inappropriate out there. It's inappropriate in your home. It's inappropriate wherever you go. That doesn't make many people happy. Because we'd like to think that we could just have, fulfill a religious obligation, come to church and go on and live our life any way we want. Much of the church is doing that today and justifying it. But we will not. We know better. We know what the Word of God says to us. In Luke chapter 13, I ask you to prepare, so you should be at least be have your device or your Bible or something. Luke chapter 13, verse 12 through 16. I'm going to read that this morning. Jesus is talking to a lady with an infirmity. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to the water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years he be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath." She was bound up for 18 years. Jesus healed her on the Sabbath day. Now, this is what I was talking about. We need not to get ourselves in a religious mindset. Yes, sir. Jesus was, you know, the Pharisees were notorious about building walls around the law. They put up fences and walls so that people couldn't even get close to an infliction of the infraction of the law. So, for somebody to be healed on the Sabbath in their mind, that was wrong because it was written in their higher books. And yet, Jesus made it perfectly clear. He's more important. He's more interested in people and individuals than he is in any religious dogma or ideas. He sets us free from all that. So when I was talking about coming to church, I just don't want it to be your religion. I want you to come here freely, excited, ready to worship the living God, and ready to receive something from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want it to be heartfelt. Praise God. How many of you have teenagers in the house? All right. That's a little different situation. Sometimes they have to do what mom and dad tells them to do, or mom, or whatever. Grandparents. And let me tell you this, being a young man, growing up in church, as a child, I really did not like going to church, but I am so thankful that my parents took me to church and taught me the things they taught me. So if you're battling with your teenager, please just know you are in charge, and the things that you're teaching them and allowing them to learn when they come to church will manifest in their life. I believe that's what that scripture about training up a child in the way they should go, that they'll not depart far from it. They're not necessarily going to do everything you want them to do, but the seed has been planted in their heart. Hallelujah. All right, let's take a look at several things here. I'm going to move along with this message quickly. One of the things that I want us to understand is that God is looking for laborers. But laborers have to, if we're going to be a laborer, we have to understand certain things if we're going to labor in the harvest. One of the things that we need to recognize is that God, whether you like it or not, I know people don't like this word, but there's rules in being a good laborer. We have to follow the rules that have been laid out, that's set forth for us. When I was in Psalms 119, verse 11, it says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." It's the word of God that keeps us. It's the rule book that we have. And, you know, I know people say, oh, the Bible is just a bunch of rules. Well, there's more blessings in the Bible for you than there are just rules. But I will grant you, there are some rules that you have to follow. Basic rules that make sense. Love God, love your neighbor. Jesus said you fulfill all of them when you do those two things. Love God and love people. Wow. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? We make it really difficult. But there's always rules that we have to abide by. When I was a young man, I worked in the laborers union. And one of the things that I recognized is that there were the laborers union, and then there were the skilled trades. I'm talking about the carpenters, plumbers, electricians, iron workers, various trades out there. And each one of those groups had their own rules for what they were allowed to do and not allowed to do. As a laborer, I was not allowed to pick up a hammer and do something that the carpenters would do. I wasn't allowed to be any kind of electrical work or anything other than just help. That was my job. Carpenters, not allowed to do electrical work. Electricians, not allowed to do carpenter work or pipe fitters. Everybody had their rules. And as long as everybody lived within their rules, it wasn't any problem. But if one of the trades saw somebody doing something they wasn't supposed to do, look out. Call the steward. We'll get this straightened out. That guy's not supposed to be doing that. They were protecting their turf. Now, we're not protecting any turf. We're trying to expand the turf for the kingdom. So we have to understand that these things that we're talking about, everything that we need to know as a laborer in the harvest is right here in this book. We can follow it and we can become successful laborers for the kingdom of God. Ephesians 6:6 tells us to work and do a good job, not just when we're being watched, when somebody's seeing us, but to do it as if we're doing it to God from the heart. Everything that you do, wherever you are, you do it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't get that out of my mind. Whenever I'm doing something, now part of this has to do with the way I was raised, but part of it is also knowing what the Word of God, my parents taught me. You know, you're supposed to do the best you can possibly do in any job. So even if it's a job for me, I'm always, you know, when I've cleaned the car, Tammy always says this, I cleaned it, but it's not a Rob Barber job. You know, it's something that's a part of me. I believe that we're supposed to do absolutely the best. Now, let me say this. I'm not condemning her for the way she cleans the car, okay? I'm glad she cleans the car for me. And she does a great job. But what I want you to catch from this is that when we do anything, we must do it as if we're doing it unto God. From our heart. Not just when people are watching. As a laborer, I had this experience. I had this guy that I thought he was my friend. And we were backfilling, and that which meant we had this great big pile of dirt, and we were filling in pipe, huge pipes. And what I noticed was that it took me a long time. I was just a kid. And didn't really understand how people can take advantage of you sometimes. So I learned a valuable lesson from this guy. What would happen was that he would give me the shovel when there wasn't anybody around. And I would shovel away. And when he was keeping an eye out, when he saw the foreman coming, he said, okay, I'll shovel now. He'd take over. So it looked like I wasn't working and he was always working when the foreman came around. And as soon as the foreman would leave, he said, okay, you can shovel again. Like I said, I was a silly kid. But I learned a lesson, and that is that, you know, you want to trust people, but not everybody is trustworthy. Some people will take advantage of you. Be careful out there. But I can say this. I've got lots of people that surround me, that love me, that support me, that work with me today that I can trust with my life. And I'm thankful for that. And you're all part of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, geez. The second thing is we need to be diligent. 2 Timothy 2:15 is, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Diligent means to be steady, earnest, energetic, with energetic effort. So there's more to it than just doing your job. It's doing your job energetically. Excited about what you're able to do. And we've all had jobs and positions that we were not so excited about. We didn't really want to go to that position or do that job. But the Bible really teaches us that we're supposed to do it energetically because we're doing it to please the Lord. We should be diligent to know and practice the rules that God has given us in His Word. When I was able to play basketball, Randy and I played basketball together. Neither one of us is doing that any longer. But we always think we can. You know, up here in my mind, I could still do that. I know that's what Randy's thinking. He's thinking about going back and start playing again. You'll be sorry. Hallelujah. But I want you to know, I played basketball since I was in the sixth grade. I put in hundreds of hours of practice. I know the rules of basketball. But I only tell you, when I played pickup, I made lots of mistakes. I would do things that you're not allowed to do. Double dribble, travel, you know, do those kind of things. Foul people. Sometimes that was intentional, but not always. But I know the rules. But I want you to understand, I practiced playing according to the rules. But I didn't always follow the rules. I always made mistakes. And that's how we are in the kingdom. You know, we're practicing. We get the word of God and we practice to do it right. But we are still human and we still make mistakes. And thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers those past sins and those sins that we are going to perform and do wrong. And yet, we have a responsibility to ask for forgiveness. Ask God. I mean, he's very willing to do that. If you try to play the game outside of the rules, there's always going to be a problem. These guys, if you are playing on an organized basketball team, the guys with the most authority run around in striped suits or striped shirts. And they can do just about whatever they want to do. They can call you for a foul or traveling whether you did it or not. And sometimes if you watch any professional basketball, I've almost stopped watching basketball and sports completely. So, you know, I just not watching TV any longer. But if you watch any of that, those professionals never think they've done anything wrong. That's the wrong mindset. You see, that's the religious mindset. The world, the church thinks that. The religious church thinks, oh, we're perfect. We're okay. We're never okay. We're fallen creatures, whether we like it or not. But we're okay because we're sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Doesn't make us perfect. It makes us forgiven, which is awesome. Benjamin Franklin said, "Diligence is the mother of good luck." So if you're diligent, you're going to create some good luck for yourself. When we diligently strive to live according to God's rules, God's laws, God's Bible, this is what it looks like. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, contrast that with the scriptures right before it, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are, they're evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, the key there is practicing such things. Those who are practicing sin. That's why we're calling out to the world, stop. Stop sinning. Jesus made a better way for you. You don't have to walk in those things. Have you ever cleaned a window on the inside and then went outside, cleaned the window? You cleaned it all off and you just keep, there's a smudge on it. You just keep rubbing and trying to clean it. And what you do, you go back inside and you find out the smudge wasn't on the outside. Was on the inside. That's what we have to work on, getting cleaned up. It's what's on the inside. When we get that right, then everything else falls into place. The third thing, well, let me share one more scripture with you, Romans 6:12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. The last thing I want to share with you this morning is that laborers make themselves available. You have to be available. You have to say, God, here I am. Use me. Use me in whatever capacity you want to use me. Use me in the gifts and the talents, the things that you have instilled in my life. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has prepared good works for every person sitting in this place. They're prepared for you. I believe that we need to get up every morning and recognize that God has given us this day to do kingdom work for Him. Get up with the attitude that, hey, we're going to do this. God, thank you for this opportunity, and you've got something special for me to do today. Just prepare yourself for it. You see, we can say we have faith, but according to the scripture, faith without works, James 2:20, is dead. So we have to be about the kingdom work. When I worked for the state of Ohio on the highway, locally here in Meigs County, we came in and we got our orders every day, what we were supposed to do. So one of the things that I've learned in our Christian faith is that God sometimes shows us long-term what He wants us to do, but He has also prepared a daily agenda for us. And we need to be thinking about that daily. If we get too far out, have our you know, I'm an advocate of setting goals. That's a good thing. But let's live daily for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's recognize that He has established certain things for us each and every day. It's the diligent who make themselves available. Now, here's something that you may not necessarily like to hear, and that is the reward for a job well done is more work. This applies to the kingdom. Listen to what Jesus said when He was talking about the story or the parable of the talents. He said to the guy that did really well, He said, His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." The reward for good kingdom work is more kingdom work. Hallelujah. It's not getting to sit on the porch and sip tea, even though that's something you should do and desire. But it's more kingdom work. We need Christians in the marketplace, in whatever field of endeavor that you are in. We need you spirit-filled, influencing our society. Without it, there is no salt and light in this world. We have to be salt and light wherever we go. A very wise person said this once, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did. So throw off the bowlines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. Wow. I believe in the ministry of the corporate body, and that's what our fair is going to be all about. But I also believe in the ministry of the individual, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, God has called you to be His example, His ambassador for the kingdom. I believe, you know, what this thing says, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. As we do, we understand the balance that God has given us in our lives. Chuck Colson once said this. He said, the church is like Noah's Ark. The stench inside would be unbearable if it weren't for the storm outside. Wow. Sometimes that's probably true. But guess what? There is a storm going on out there. And the Lord has created us in such a way, and He's created the church, no matter how much it stinks at times, He's created the church to be His body in this earth. And we're His example. So we proclaim the love, the truth, and the hope of Jesus Christ in this earth today. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you'd like to have prayer this morning, we'll come up and we will pray with you. If you need healing or anything you desire. As they're finishing up the prayer time, we'll go ahead and dismiss. I'll have a word of prayer. Father God, once again, we give you glory and honor for this day. Lord, thank you for being with us. Stir our hearts, Lord God, toward you. Help us to be laborers in your harvest field. Help us to put our priorities in order, Father. Glory. We just give you glory, Father. We thank you that you're going with your people today as we leave this place. We are going out into a mission field, Father, and we are your ambassadors. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.